Heard us, amen, this morning from God's word. As you want you to look with me to Psalm number 23, the 23rd number of the Psalms. And we hope to try to encourage all of us, because when one of us is up, another one is down, and when we're down, somebody else is up. And so I think it's in the Hebrew writer that says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as some do, but we have to come together to exalt and encourage one another. So much so as we see, amen, that day approaching. And that day is the day of the Lord when he will return. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now for this privilege and for this opportunity. We ask now that you grant us a fresh and powerful anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. 23rd number of Psalms, with the emphasis on verse number 4. I'm just going to read it all. Amen. It says, and most of you all can probably recite it from memory, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. And for a few moments, we want to talk from the subject, the promise of his presence, the promise of God's presence. Let me begin by saying that the one thing that gives every Christian courage as well as confidence in troubled times is to know that the Lord is right there with us. Because I thank God for his word. In his word, he promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And my brothers and sisters, come what may, I know that we can stand on the promises of God. The Bible says, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. To put another way, Paul said, all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Why is this? Because Jesus is the embodiment of God's faithfulness. And that's why the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 that God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, the main reason that God is faithful and that we can stand on his promises is because of the fact that we read again in Titus 1 and 2, where Paul makes it clear from the start that not only will God not lie, but God cannot lie, because God is truth. He is the source of truth, and he cannot lie. For Titus 1:2 say, this truth gives us confidence that we have eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promised us before the foundation of the world. And so this morning, with your prayers, I won't talk just for a few moments, won't be long, from that subject, the promise of his presence. Because if you're a Bible reader, you'll realize that throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we have the promise of God's presence in good times as well as bad times. For instance, when God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations and to announce both salvation and judgment, right away Jeremiah revealed to God his fears of being inadequate because of his youth. But God told Jeremiah, according to Jeremiah 1:8, he said, "Don't be afraid of their faces." Why? He said, "Because I am with you." When Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, who were precursor of the church in Matthew 28:19-20, to go into all the world and make disciples, in verse 20, he assured them by telling them, "I am with you." And then he put a little added on there, a little added assurance on there. He let them know that I'm not just with you for a little while, but I am with you even to the end of the age. Then in the book of Acts, in the city of Corinth, where Paul was criticized and his gospel message rejected, the Bible says in Acts 18:9-10 that the Lord appeared to Paul in a night vision and said to him, "Don't be afraid, keep on preaching, for I am with you." My brothers and sisters, God's promised presence is what enables us to persevere and hold on in the midst of troubles and trials. But now I need to tell us that we can't see the Lord with our natural eyes, because God is a spirit. And that's what the Bible says in both the Old as well as the New Testament, in Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17, that the just shall live by faith. But even more, the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11:1, it helps us to understand what faith is in plain and simple terms. Faith is what makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. And then that's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. My brothers and sisters, perhaps somebody here this morning, or perhaps somebody listening by way of radio, maybe you're going through some type of crisis, and perhaps you feel that you're all alone, or that you're all by yourself, and you need to be assured of God's presence. Well, a friend of mine, you won't be able to see him with your natural eye, but I can guarantee you and assure you that through the eyes of faith, you can know that the Lord is right there with you. As a matter of fact, he's right there with every born-again believer in the person of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in all of us. No wonder the Bible says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world." But still, you know, many times family and friends and others don't seem to understand that in spite of the struggles that you're going through, you want to do better, but for some reason you don't have the strength to do so. But my brothers and sisters, God's promised presence says that my grace is sufficient for you, for my grace is made perfect in human weakness. In other words, God's presence, his love, power, and blessings is sufficient to help us endure any trial and tribulation that may come into our life. But ever as we make our way to the text, my brothers and sisters, the reason we need to be constantly assured of God's presence is because in life we're either heading toward a storm, we're in a storm, or we're coming out of a storm. Because life is not always filled with mountaintop experiences. And therefore we need to know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is with us in the good times as well as the bad times. And so we note that David says in our text in Psalm 23:4, David goes to the extreme and say, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now here we see that David was assured of God's presence even in the face of death, because death casts a frightening shadow on us, because we are entirely helpless in his presence, because strength and courage cannot overcome death. But let me say something to you. Death doesn't have the final word. Why? Because we have someone to walk with us through death's dark valley who will bring us safely to the other side, and that person is the God of life. And so as we consider our immediate text with a focus on verse 4, we know that Psalm 23 is known as the shepherd's psalm because it likens God to a good shepherd who guides and supports his flock through life and the many ups and downs that we may face. Therefore, this psalm reveals to us that the many ways that God shows his loving kindness to his children, even in the midst of the worst of circumstance. But now the big question that faces us this morning is, do you believe that God is with you no matter what you are facing in life? You got to believe that. You got to stand on the promise, boy, y'all sure cry, and believe that God is with you. But let's not hold you too long. Let's see if we can glean a few nuggets from our text that will perhaps help us to hold on to God's unchanging hand regardless of the situation or circumstance. And so note, if you will, that Psalm 23 reveals to that there is a progression in life, and that progression is seen in the text as a pre-valley experience in verse 1 through 3, the valley experience of verse 1, and the post-valley benefits and blessings of verse 5 and 6. But first of all, let's consider the pre-valley experiences of life in verse 1 through 3. We note that the psalmist begins this psalm by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in the green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restore my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his namesake." Now here we have in these verses the many ways that God shows his loving kindness and protecting power to those who need him as he leads them. Because in the first three verses, God is pictured as a loving shepherd and a caring host, who at the beginning the sheep look to the shepherd for leadership, guidance, and protection. But my brothers and sisters, let me say to us, it's easy for us to cry out and talk about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, in our pre-valley experiences when life is paying dividends and everything is going our way. In other words, it's easy for us to praise God when we are in a mountaintop experience and the sun, so to speak, is shining in and on our lives. Because in the text, the green pastures pictures the comfort and blessings we experience as we go through life when all is well. The still waters is a picture of peace and serenity when everything is going our way and somehow we seem to be living above trouble and adversity. But my brothers and sisters, we need to know that we can't stay on the mountaintop all the time, nor can we rest on past mountaintop experiences, because remember the text revealed that there is a progression in this psalm as well as there's a progression in life, meaning we got to move on in life in order to have some new mountaintop experiences. But to do so, we don't just jump or leap from mountain to mountain, but we got to go down in the valley, meaning we got to move from pre-valley experiences to the valley experiences of verse 4. Now, note if you will that the valley experience in the text as well as in life is a whole lot different from the pre-valley experience of comfort and blessing, serenity and peace. Because, yes, Lord, in the valley there is danger. In the valley, death lurks. But note, if you will, that the psalmist still expresses confidence in God's promised presence in spite of the dangers and even death itself. And note he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why is this? Because even in the face of death itself, our author David was assured of God's promised presence because he said, "You are with me." But I believe that David knew that a shadow doesn't have substance. It's only a reflection from a light. Because, but you can't have a shadow in the dark. There has to be some light in order for the cast a shadow. And I believe that's why David got pregnant and said in so many words, I'm not afraid because